relatively new location in Auburn, the Embrace Church on North College Street. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to be the first one at the door. I'm going to vote on my way into work.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't get in the parking lot.
Wow.
At 10 till 7 this morning.
Well, every polling place that I've been by, and there are a lot, and there are a lot of new ones this year, because we're at the Auburn Community Church for the first time this year, and unbelievable. Fortunately, there's so much parking that we had no trouble. But
I went back at 11, and while it was very crowded, they were doing a great job of getting folks in and out of the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got into the actual line to vote, that went very, very quickly. And it was incredibly organized, and everyone did a terrific job. So it was just getting in and out of that parking lot there, and they were doing a terrific job with the number of cars, then getting back out on College and going north or south, and there were police there directing traffic. So, and it was, while there was a big group of folks waiting to vote, it went by very, very quickly. But Bill, as you mentioned, and we've talked with folks here at Auburn Sports Network, that when we vote all over, like you guys, we vote all over the city of Auburn,
mm-hmm.
and some in Opelika as well, and everyone is reporting a huge turnout for this vote. So this tiny little section of America, this Auburn Opelika, it appears that folks are getting out in big numbers to cast their vote today.
Oh, absolutely. Again, I don't have anything to compare it to since we hadn't voted there before, but I was really impressed with how many folks we saw. And then we've ridden by, like I said, a couple of others. So mm-hmm. good. And a reminder to folks, if you haven't voted yet, you still have plenty of time. So
7 o'clock Central. Yep,
that is
correct. Central.
And then starting at 7 o'clock, Ben Taylor, Roddy Hubbard, and company are gonna be broadcasting election results on WANI. Flashbacks, Andy.
I did that for a number of years. Hats off to Ben and to Riley and all the folks that are out getting the results when they become available and getting the audio and the interviews. I did that for 12 years there at WANI, and my hat's off to all those folks.
Oh, absolutely.
That continue that tradition that was going on before me and after me as well.
That is absolutely right. So so that's something to keep in mind. All right, Don was talking about the great opportunity, the reunion of the two, and I'm sure it was great having the opportunity to see as many of those guys as you got a chance to.
Brad Law is our producer at the network and did a fabulous job putting together our lineup
mm-hmm.
for Saturday. I just wish the game had been later in the day, and we'd have had more folks gathered around mm-hmm. for that lineup. But we talked to Stanley McClover. We had both Jason Campbell and Will Herring
mm-hmm.
as part of our crew. So obviously there's two more key members of that. We had both coordinators together, Al Borges and Gene Chizik. We had Tommy Tuberville on that day as well. And I know we've had others, and it just escapes my mind, the different folks that we had. Devin Oromashadu.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing that he wasn't there with Tommy, because Coach Tuberville never could pronounce the man's name.
Or
Ben Albamano's name in his 4 years. They're 4 years there at Auburn. But it was a great lineup. And from everything I can tell, Don, and you were there, you can certainly give him a much better. It appeared that folks really enjoyed their time together from Friday night throughout the day, and then all day Saturday as well.
Yeah, it was a great great event. Well done by Auburn. I'm very thankful that they did it for those young men, and saw a lot of people like we were talking earlier, and it was just a great weekend.
Well, just two of the folks that were unable to make it, two that have passed on.
Yeah,
I guess two or three since then, actually. Jeff Klein, who was a quarterback on that team, Quentin Groves, Terry Price, who you and I talked about, Don, and
when
you were on the podcast that day. So I'm sure it was time to remember those gentlemen that were part of that, a valuable part of that team as well.
Yes, for sure. Coach Tuberville talked about those young men on Friday night, and Jason Campbell did a great job speaking to the group. But you're right, Andy, it was a great weekend, and great to see all those fine young men.
Just wish Auburn could have pulled off a victory to cap that day off.
Andy, I mean, it really, really a shame. I mean, It seems, you know, Auburn sort of fell back into what has happened a few times this season. They played well. I mean, statistically, you see, and they moved the ball. They just unable to really punch it in when they get in the red zone. And the defense, my goodness, the defense played so well. And, you know, you have a break go against you, and it's enough that it ends up, you know, resulting in a 10-point loss.
Yeah, it was a frustrating day. Listen, it just was. And, you know, Coach Freeze talked about it in the post game, and I know the players echoed it, and we all felt frustrated after that ball game on Saturday. And hats off to Vanderbilt and hats off to Diego Pavi. I don't want to take anything away. Mm-hmm. I still think that's one of the great stories this season. Not only the Southeastern Conference, across college football, what Vanderbilt has done. But, boy, Auburn had its chances and just couldn't, especially in the second half, just couldn't put consistent offense together. And I thought until Vanderbilt's last touchdown drive, Auburn had done a really good job of containing Diego Pavia and minimizing Vanderbilt's ability to just gobble up the clock. But yeah, when it absolutely had to do it, that's what they did. That last drive is what Vandy has done all season long. I mean, they drive the field. They take 8 minutes off the clock. They take advantage of some Auburn mistakes in penalties, including the personal foul on the field goal that would have kept it a one-score game at that point. But, man, when they punched it in and the pass to Stowers after they were able to put it in the end zone and made it a two-score game, you knew Auburn was really in trouble at that point because the Tigers just hadn't moved the football in the second. I truly believe had it been still a six-point game, I don't know if the difference that would have been enough to make for an Auburn victory. I just think that there would the hope would have been there for Auburn to pull off that last-second drive and get a much-needed home win in Southeastern Conference play. As it is, Vanderbilt wins the game, and you know, hats off to the Vandy defense as well, shutting down an Auburn offense that, although it had numbers from a yardage perspective, and even in the time of possession by the end of the game, you know, Auburn only manages one touchdown. This is a couple field goals, and you know, special teams struggled mightily at times, and it's a frustrating day, just a frustrating day for Auburn football, to be sure. And I've tuned in yesterday, and I can understand the frustration of the Auburn family right now. We were all hoping that Auburn had perhaps turned a corner after that win at Kentucky and coming home to face Vanderbilt. But as it turns out now, with the open weekend this weekend and now three games to close the year, Auburn's got to make a run, and it would be considered, I think, a miracle run right now to win those last three games to become bowl eligible.
Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, the first thing they have to do is win the next one to have any chance of doing that. So that's
absolutely the most important
game.
Yeah. And that's the only decision that you can make right now for this team. I mean, you've got to win this next game to remain with the possibility of being bowl. And you know what? Maybe that's not even the most important thing right now for Auburn, the bowl eligible part. It's get better. Mm-hmm. Get a win at home in a week and a half when ULM comes to town. And ULM's formidable enough, that's for darn sure, when they come rolling into town a week from Saturday. So, yeah, you've got to continue to fight. You've got to continue to grind at this point. There's no other choice that Auburn has, my opinion, at this point.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And ULM, even though they've lost a couple now, they're still 6-3,
right,
and they have to be looking and saying, "Hey, this is a great opportunity for us to go in there." And you know, all the talk about Jordan-Hare Stadium, it has been difficult. It has been really, really difficult for Auburn to be able to win at home, and ULM is going to come in fully expecting to win. So that's what Auburn's got to do, is, you know, they've got to defend the home turf.
You put it perfectly.
Talking with Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers. Let's talk a little basketball, Andy.
Sure.
After we'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break. I didn't get a chance to get over there Friday, so I'd love to get your thoughts on on what you saw there from Auburn as they get ready for their regular season opener tomorrow against Vermont. We'll get to that bottom of the hour break. Back with Andy Burcham Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. It's Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we have the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, on the drive hotline with us. And Andy, tomorrow, let's see, first of all, women with a nice win last night in their season opener, and tomorrow night, Bruce Pearl and the Auburn men open their regular season in front of another sellout against Vermont.
It'll be the 56th consecutive sellout.
Wow.
Can you believe that? I mean, think about that for a second, Bill. I mean, you and I have been around basketball in Auburn for a long, long time. We almost take it for granted now that this will be the 56th consecutive sellout.
Yeah, younger fans could not imagine the way it used to be where those of us who were there could pick whatever seat we wanted.
Well, and granted, I mean, when it was at Beard Eaves, that was a much bigger facility.
Sure.
But, I mean, even those first years at Neville Arena, we didn't think about selling. Anyway, it's just part of what this basketball program has become now in the 11 years that Bruce Pearl has been there. And Auburn will get and I cannot emphasize this enough, Auburn is going to get a quality opponent here tomorrow night. And if you ask me why, well, just take a look at what Vermont did last night at UAB.
Absolutely.
167-62, hit 10 three-pointers last night. UAB did not make one. Went 0-for from three.
Yeah.
And this is a Vermont team that has been the perennial favorite in the America East. They are picked to win it one more time. Their head coach has been the America East. They ought to name the award after him for John Becker. Seven times he has been named the America East Coach of the Year. They won the title a year ago. They lost one guy off of that team. They return a really good three-point shooting squad that will try to take the air out of the ball tomorrow night. They will run the shot clock. They will get a good shot. They will do their very best to try and slow the game down tomorrow night. Is Auburn more athletic? Absolutely. Is Auburn bigger? It certainly is. But Auburn was bigger and better athletes than Yale was last year in the NCAA tournament. And that, I think that's the one way you can kind of compare what Vermont does. And this Vermont team, by the way, beat that Yale team last year in the regular season. So this is a really, really tough opener for Auburn. And then, oh, by the way, then the Tigers, of course, get ready for number 4 Houston Saturday night in a neutral site game in Houston. So this is a very tough opening weekend for Bruce Pearl's team. I'll be interested to see what the starting lineup is tomorrow night. We talked to him last night on Tiger Talk, and he said, and you know, a year ago, really, other than at point guard, Auburn's starting five remained constant.
Oh, it was steady, yes.
A year ago. And I'm not sure that's going to be the case this year. Auburn can go big with Dylan Cardwell and Jani Broome. You've got Denver Jones and J.P. Pegues and Tahad Pettifer that all will play at the point. Miles Kelly appears to be back after his two-week bout with mono. Played 20 minutes last Friday, Bill, in his first action. Did not play in that Furman exhibition and really looked good. He's a sharp shooter. Auburn can get bigger at that two-guard if they play Miles there. If Auburn wants to go a little bit smaller, Chaney Johnson, who has been tough to keep out of the starting lineup, and I think has made a big step forward for Auburn. You've got Chaney that can play the four with Jani at the five. And I just, you know, then, you know, you've got Jaheim Hudson coming off the bench. Jakai Howard, just an incredible, electric athlete as a freshman. And Tahad Pettifer, another of those freshmen. Well, he's got some choices to make as far as rotations are concerned right now, and this team can play some defense too. I know Vermont is a very sound defensive ball club, held UAB to 62 points last night and 38% shooting. This Auburn team can play a little bit of defense as well if the two exhibition games are any indication.
Well, Bruce Pearl's teams are going to play defense. If you're going to play, if you're going to play minutes for Bruce, you're going to play defense. And yes, the options that Auburn has for different lineups, rotations, starting groups. Hey, you didn't even mention you know, Auburn's other preseason all conference guy in CBM. Because I mean you've got Chad and Miles who could, you know, some people are wondering, are they competing at the three? Yeah, they could be competing at the three. One could play the two while the other one's playing the three. It's just it's great to look at the different possibilities.
I didn't mention Chris Moore.
No, you're right.
You know, Chris Moore has been in the starting lineup the better part of the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be a role player for Auburn this season. And it's probably in the best shape that he's been in since he's been at Auburn. So, I mean, it just shows you the options that Bruce Pearl has. And he's going to need it with this non-conference schedule that starts tomorrow night with the perennial America East Conference champion, Vermont.
Yeah, and Bruce talking to the media a little yesterday. Was it? I guess it was yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to drive that point home that for the people that might, you know, they want to see that they're thinking they're going to come out and see one of those blowouts that you might have seen around the country last night. That's not likely to happen against this Vermont team because, as you said, they have so much experience and they know what they're doing and they know what they need to do to win. Heck, if you top 70 in this one, you've probably done pretty well offensively.
They will start two juniors, two seniors, and a grad student tomorrow night. These guys have been around a bit. Coming into Neville, as tough as that is, and it's as good an atmosphere as you're going to find in college basketball, I don't think that will bother this Vermont team tomorrow night. Now, I think Auburn certainly will play off of that, the jungle, tomorrow night, but I don't think it will intimidate Vermont coming in here tomorrow night.
No, I'm really, really looking forward to it. I mean, of course, everybody really, you know, hungry to see basketball again. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Miles. Like I said, I can get a chance to get out there Friday. What were your impressions? I mean, the little bit of time I got to see him in practice before he got hurt, he looks like a really big time shooter and an athlete.
He missed almost 2 weeks with mono. And he didn't have what Bruce Pearl called his first full contact practice until last Thursday. So a day before, Auburn played host to Florida Atlantic. And Auburn overwhelmed Florida Atlantic. It was 13-13, and then Auburn went on like a, I can't remember.
23-1.
A big run, and that ball game was basically over.
Yeah. I was listening, so
point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought Miles did a good job of getting back into the swing of the game, and we saw that shooting touch that he has and really that Auburn has been looking for a while. Here's another observation that I had, and I wasn't at the Furman game, okay? So we got back at 3 in the morning after the Kentucky game. I thought J.P. Pegues got better as the game went on as well.
Sure sounded like it down the stretch.
I thought he looked a little tentative. Yeah. Boy, in the second half, though, I mean, he was looking for his shot a little bit more. And it is his shot a little bit more. I was impressed with Tahad Pettiford and his poise coming in and playing a lot of point guard last Friday. And then Ty Howard's just an electric athlete. And there are going to be times where he's going to make a mistake. He's going to go for a steal and you're going to go, oh, geez, and he's a freshman. And then there are going to be times where you're just like, holy cow, we haven't seen that in a while, just because of the athletic ability, his basketball skills. Janai Broom was Janai. You know, he just steady on the low post. Auburn started, both he and Dylan Cardwell. They played the first 3 or 4 minutes together, and then Bruce started moving guys in and out of the lineup. And I was at practice one day, and one of the coaches said, man, it's been hard to keep Cheney Johnson out of the lineup right now. And watching him play Friday, yeah, I can see that. He looks like a different player than a year ago in his first year after transferring from UAH. So I'm incredibly excited about these guys. And Jaheim Hudson is going to give Auburn some important minutes at the 4 and perhaps at the 5 at times. And then Chris Moore is just one of my favorite guys on this team. So, man, and didn't even mention Denver. And Denver played at both the 1 and the 2. for Auburn. So, and then Chad Baker Mazzara, who's just an incredibly electric player and a guy that, that the crowd really responds to Chad Baker as well. So bring it on. Like, I can't wait to see what this team does in that opener tomorrow night against a really good Vermont ball club.
Yeah, I'm really, really interested to see, you know, how the offense is able to react against this Vermont team. I would imagine they're going to sag back in a little bit because Auburn's going to have the size. And Auburn didn't shoot it so well against Furman, but they shot it much better against Florida Atlantic, and that's where Miles Kelly and JP and Tahad and Denver are guys that can really make teams pay if they decide to try to sag it in because of Janai.
Well, and I think this is a Vermont team that just doesn't sag in and tries to take away your big game. I think they play well on the perimeter and do a good job of taking away the running game. And we know how well this Auburn team, how a Bruce Pearl team can run as it has in the past. And I think this team has every bit the athleticism to get out and run with the ball as well. So it's going to be a very interesting, because it really is two very different schools of basketball.
Yep.
That we will see tomorrow night.
Yep. Once again, a sellout tomorrow night. 7 o'clock is the tip. 6:30 will be the pregame over on Wings. So that one's coming up. Before we run out of time, Andy, go ahead and fill us in on everything else that's coming up with you and the network.
Bucking Tigers podcast this week deals with NIL and specifically On to Victory. Brett Whiteside, the executive director and one of the young student-athletes that is benefiting from NIL at Auburn, Cam Coleman, on the Talking Tigers podcast this week. Starting Monday, I really urge you to tune into the Talking Tigers podcast. It is Veterans Day on Monday. Right. And I don't know how many friends of mine are veterans, and some have been overseas and in the Middle East. And one of those is Josh Wetzel. And Josh works in athletics as the assistant director of social media strategy, was in Afghanistan with the Army, and stepped on an IED and lost both of his legs. And spent 2 years at Walter Reed in the D.C. area. And at that point, he was a lifelong Auburn fan, and Auburn reached out to Josh during this time. And Josh, after he got out of Walter Reed, at that point was married with one of his two daughters, and or his wife and a daughter, now has two daughters, and came to Auburn. Had really struggled in his education part, one of the reasons he was in the Army, came to Auburn and earned his bachelor's degree, and now works in athletics. And it's an incredible Auburn story that Josh tells. And to his credit, talks about the day that the bomb took his legs. And so I urge you to get into the Talking Tigers podcast in the weeks to come. You will hear from Kim and Tim Hudson and the work that they're doing at the Hunstad Family Foundation, especially in the holiday point. You will hear from three of Auburn's golfers, two men and a woman that were part of the Arnold Palmer Cup, the U.S. Arnold Palmer Cup, this summer that won. We're just setting up right now, and this will lead into football signing day. Kenyatta Watson, who is on that football staff and works in the recruiting part, we're setting up a podcast recording with Kenyatta to talk about the work that they do in that group as Auburn attempts to sign another top 10 class. This could be a top 5, even a top 3 class by the time it's done. So all of that is coming up throughout the month of November on the Talking Tigers podcast. And then, of course, Saturday, it's Auburn at Houston. It is at Houston. They're not playing on campus.
It's in Houston.
Playing at the Toyota Center. But we'll be on there. It's a late game. It's an 8 o'clock or 8:30 tip.
Right.
We'll be on the air from the Toyota Center in Houston at 8 o'clock on Saturday. And then next week, we'll gear up for more basketball and ULM coming to town.
That's right. A lot going on, Andy. Great. It's great to spend a little bit of time with you, and thanks for all the updates.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great one. Don, have a great day, all right, my friend. Glory to you, guys.
Thank you.
The voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us as he does each Tuesday afternoon. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. We'll open up the phone lines. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Tuesday drive.
Before every Auburn.
Right now. This is not a poll where it can be you vote where you think teams should be at the end of the year or that type. This is supposed to be based on the results thus far. Going to be interesting to see how many SEC teams there are here in the college football playoff rankings. There are all kinds of different projections that have been tossed out there from people saying, well, here's what they expect to see. But a lot of those, I think, are people going ahead and projecting at the end of the year. Now, I mean, it's not going to be exactly, and it's sometimes it's not even very close to the polls that you're seeing, because this will be depending on, you know, who the teams have played, how good the teams that teams have beaten are, the records of those teams, and so forth. But, you know, you remember the college football playoff rankings aren't the way that teams are going to be seeded anyway.
Right.
Because you might have two or three teams from one conference in the top five, but only one of those is going to get that bye.
Yeah.
Because your byes are going to go to your four top conference champs.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be very interesting. I don't know if they'll just go down the first 12 and –
Oh, they usually count them up. Remember, they'll come in at 25 and count it up.
It lasts forever.
Oh yeah, But I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Yeah. And again, just because somebody's there, I think there's some projections of Andy's going to be in the top 25 because of their schedule, the strength of schedule.
Yeah,
I mean, they beat Alabama and they played Texas. You know, very, very close.
Yeah,
and so they deserve to probably be in there. That doesn't mean that they're
right.
I know that they're still talking about one of the things Clark Lee is saying is, hey, if they went out, they probably deserve to be in the playoffs. But it's going to be pretty difficult, I would think, for Vandy to do that with the schedule that they have. But again, remember that just because a team is highly ranked in the first of the college football playoff rankings doesn't mean they're going to be there. I remember – I think the very first college football playoff rankings that came out, Ole Miss and Mississippi State were in the top five, both in the top five.
I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah,
and it didn't end that way.
No. So yeah, just because somebody's in there now doesn't mean it's going to end that way. But that'll be fun.
And then
if you need a break, you know, from either election, I can see I'll be checking out the numbers at both of those things coming up.
And then you have college football again tonight. Starts middle of the week, or you know, you
there's been college football. Yeah. You know, it's
every
been football
night.
Of some type every
yeah.
night.
Yeah.
Who's playing tonight?
Let me check real quick. It's probably the MAC teams, I would imagine. Yeah, Bowling Green at Central Michigan.
Yep, that is right.
Miami of Ohio at Ball State. But that's great for those kids.
MAC Tuesday. That is right.
Yeah, and those kids, you know, get excited, and it's good exposure because you know people are going to watch that love college football.
So there'll be football on. There'll be election coverage, and again, don't forget, you can keep up with the local elections as well as the national on WAAI 98.7. That'll be starting at 7 o'clock with Ben Taylor, Roddy Hubbard, and I believe that T-Bone's gonna be along as well. So that'll be coming up at 7 o'clock this evening. We've got another hour to go here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. We're going to check in with Jake Crane of Crane & Company at the bottom of the hour. But until then, you can join us. Anything on your mind sports-wise, if you didn't get a chance to get through yesterday, you want to give us your thoughts on, you know, Auburn football or anything in the world of sports, again, 334-321-1390. That's The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Or you can text us on The Drive text box, 334-564-1840. We're back with hour number two. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
844-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. And yeah, I've got to get used to this. The loss of daylight savings time. Yep. When we're starting the second hour and it's dark.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not used to that at all.
It's
I mean,
tough.
I don't mind it terribly in the morning.
Right.
When you wake up, yep, and you go, oh, it's not as late as I thought. Because yep, tune in to WANI 98.7 for election coverage with Ben, yep, Taylor, Roddy Hubbard, and more. So that's going to be going on 7 until 10. We're here to talk whatever you would like in the world of sports. We talked a good bit, spent most of yesterday talking about Auburn's loss to Vandy. If you didn't get a chance to get your thoughts about that or, you know, where Auburn is right now. Auburn's got an open date this week, and then you've got three more ball games, two of them at home.
Yep.
But, I mean,
yep,
you're going to be facing two ranked teams. After ULM, it's Texas A&M, then to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. So quite the task for Auburn, which is still looking for answers offensively.
Right.
Defensively, I mean, I really like where Auburn is defensively, but they're definitely looking for answers offensively. And quite frankly, they're looking for answers special teams-wise, too.
Yeah.
It's been a struggle.
It's unfortunate, but you're right, Bill. I agree with you. I think the defense has really, really improved, getting better each week, and again, giving us a chance to win. And that's all you can ask for on defense. And hopefully we'll get things going on offense and take care of, like you said, the next game. Don't worry about we got to win three in a row. Don't worry about a bowl game. Don't worry about this. Worry about beating your next opponent at home.
Absolutely.
And you got a week to get healthy, so let's take them one at a time.
All right, hour number two of The Drive brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we'd love for you to join in. I believe we've got a full bank of calls on the Drive hotline, 334-321-1390, and that, of course, sponsored by Skybar. And let's go ahead and get to the Drive hotline, and DeMarco gets us started. Hey, DeMarco.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing fine.
Good, thanks.
Yeah, no, I was just calling, you know, I wanted Coach Dunn old.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had to call you, Coach. Every time I come home, you know, I'm on the way home, I always listen to you. Whenever I hear you, I'm like, I got to call Coach Dunn to check on and see how you're doing.
Man, Marco, it's great hearing from you. You know, you don't have to just wait for Don to be in here to call. How you doing, man?
I know, but I just want to tell Coach Dunn, he does such a great job on the radio. He probably need to do it more often.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, buddy. And we talk about you all the time, Bill and I, and man, I love you, and Miss Donna loves you, and you need to stop by and see me sometime.
Man, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that once we get all the season over with. Then I'm gonna make time for you. I promise.
Okay, well, I love you, buddy. Thanks.
I love you too, Carl. I appreciate you.
Man, that makes your day.
That's
great, DeMarco McNeil.
He got so tickled.
What an outstanding player he was.
What a great player.
I mean, you know, I remember, you know, when he was being recruited, there's some people going, well, he's not tall enough.
Yeah.
Man, well, yeah. He was plenty everything enough.
Yeah, I think he was Mr. Alabama football that year. And
what I remember about him is what a good basketball player he was.
Yes, he was.
I love guys that are multi-sport athletes. The guy was a double-figure rebounder.
Yeah, and he is a competitor. He likes to play golf. I see all on Facebook all the time, and what a great kid, and he's coaching. I'm so proud of him. And that makes my day right there. That's what it's all about in my business,
former business. 334-321-1390. Back to the Drive hotline, and Clay is up next. Hey, Clay.
Man, how you going to make me follow DeMarco McNeil and giving the coach love?
I
want to be serious for just a second because this is not what I called about. But I heard, I know you know him, Bill, but Jim Sanderson, the coach here at Faulkner, in Montgomery, mm-hmm, basketball coach, he does the show with Doug, I think, on Tuesdays, a couple of hours. And I remember him saying that he challenged his players to call or talk to their high school coaches or their junior high coaches or something like, you know, their dads, some man that had a huge impact on their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that to heart, and I have been able to do that. And when I called and I talked to my, I was a decent basketball player. I wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw my high school basketball coach, and I told him how much I loved him and how much I cared for him and what he meant to me. And little things that the coach never remembers doing that hits you as a player, and it meant so much to Coach Self. Daryl Self, shout out, greatest basketball coach in state of Alabama, right behind Bruce Pearl, in my opinion. anybody that's listening that ever played a sport,
yep,
it really does mean, because I've done some little minor coaching, and it means a lot when you see a little kid, even if it was upwards basketball, and they run up and they say, oh, Coach Clay, I remember when I was 7, and you may not even remember them. But I know that was really just made your heart warm.
It sure did, buddy. And you're exactly right. As a former coach, it's all about the players. And then, like, we had the reunion this weekend. You know, time after time, they come up and say, Coach, you remember when we did this? When you said this, you made me run and do that and do up-downs and kept us after practice. Things you don't remember. But then they always say, well, you know, because of you or because of the staff, I'm successful. And that's what it's all about. You know, the wins are great. The money now is great. But it's all about the kids. And that's what it should be. And if you're in coaching for something else, you're in the wrong business, because it's all about the kids.
It is, a relationship. And that really, that kind of – y'all's little reunion thing y'all had this weekend.
Yes, sir.
It kind of messed me up, because that's my secret parking spot for the basketball game.
Okay.
And I was like, what are all these people doing up here? And then I thought, oh, that's the 2004 team.
I wanted to
talk about basketball a little bit.
Sure.
And I love what Andy said. I think Janai was Janai. The only thing I don't like about Janai is he still looks at the referees too much. He's like, that was a foul, you know. Come on, man. He does, yeah, a little too much of that. But other than that, I mean, he was just solid. You know, CBM was, I mean, he was so much calmer, it looked like.
Wow, that's good.
But
that's
had really the good. Same energy, if that makes mm-hmm. sense to you.
Oh, yeah. That's really good. You know, that's really good to hear. Because he needs to be a little more under control, but still have that energy that he brings.
And I'll be dang, if Andy didn't hit the nail on the head, I'm just sitting there, and you know, basketball is a game when you can't even see on TV, but when you can see the whole court, the way that the guys move and everything,
mm-hmm.
Chaney Johnson did. He just looked different. He doesn't have a great stat line, I don't think, from the game. I mean, he doesn't have a bad one.
No, he had 10 points and 7 boards, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid, but I mean, it was so solid. It was like, wow, no wonder Seymour is sitting on the bench.
Well, you know? Bruce has said since he got here that he may be the most athletic player on the team. His biggest problem has been getting into early foul trouble, but I'm telling you, every time that Bruce has a press conference and their players, if there's anybody out on the court working, it's going to be Chaney. And I didn't recognize him. Andy said the same thing. I didn't recognize him when I saw him from a distance this year, because he is just thicker. I mean, he is a, you know, much more he's bulkier. He looks stronger, but apparently he's still just as quick as he was.
Well, and that's a great point, because that's what I was like. I was like, now what numbers? I was like, dang, that's Chaney Johnson, because he does. He just looks different. And I'm gonna go on and tell y'all right now, Todd Pettifor is a freaking ball player. That kid is special.
He is really,
really special. And it seemed to me like, and I may be speaking out of turn, J.P. Pegues underperformed. And it was like that kid got out there and kept playing and playing and playing, and it made JP pick his game up because JP was three of his last four threes mm-hmm. in the last 5 minutes of the right. game. So his stats are padded. By, now, I wouldn't say padded. I mean, it wasn't like they were just letting him score. They were great shots. But he was like, holy mackerel, you know, if I want to get on the court and play, I've got to get, you know, my rear end in gear. And so, I mean, he looked like he was really pushing him. And but the only thing that would concern me is if we really get into a game where we need a true point guard. I didn't see that Friday night. Now, we didn't need it because of the defense that they were playing, but I might be a little concerned about having a true point guard to dribble the ball down and be the Jared Harper and say, clear out, I'm going to do it. But other than that, good gosh, I mean, there's just good. I mean, just send another one in. There's so much talent and age on that team.
Yeah, that and you're exactly right. That's what a couple of people that I've talked to that said their only concern is, does Auburn have that guy that's going to handle the pressure as the point guard coming up being double teamed against full court press and be able to then dish the ball, get the ball out. And that's what JP was brought in to be, and Bruce was trying to not put the pressure on Dahad to do that, but it's going to be really interesting to follow.
Yeah, but the better news about that is you can always throw it into Janai Broome.
That's right.
And if he keeps making his free throws, I don't like the number of three-pointers he's shooting, but as long as he makes his free throws, Auburn's going to be in really, really good shape. If he shoots 80% from the free throw line,
oh, man, if he shoots 80% Auburn from the free throw line, yeah. I'm hoping you can get somewhere near there. That would be a nice improvement. Great stuff, Clay.
All right, good to talk to you guys.
All right.
Notice I didn't bring up football.
Yeah, I understand.
All right, War Eagle.
All right, Clay. 334-321-1390. We'll get one more before our first break here in hour number two. And Brian is up next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you all again. Just one thing off of the basketball, and then I'll if I'm up against the break, I'm probably going to get cut off. But
No, we got a few minutes.
the basketball, I'll totally agree with the last caller and you guys as well. When I saw Chaney Johnson, I didn't know who that was on the court. And I'll tell you what, we'll see how his game progresses, but he to me, I mean, outside of, you know, Janai, but he to me looked like he had the body of an NBA player. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was unbelievable the amount of difference he looked between this year and last year, just in his body size. But on football, on the sport of football this weekend, Bill, I think you said it yesterday, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I continue to say that I didn't like what I was at the game. I saw what Thorne put out there, and even though everybody keeps looking at his stats and saying 20 and 29, you know, 20 and 29, he misses a lot of wide open guys. I mean, I specifically watched wide receivers run open, and he either misses them or he throws it too late. And I just think what you said yesterday, you know, as much as you want to blame him, that all goes still back to Freeze. And it's, I don't know how we fix it. You know, I don't know if a new quarterback coming in next year, and that's, we talked a couple weeks ago and I had said, you know, I don't think it matters at this point. I think you go young, and you guys, I think it matters to the coach. And I actually didn't mean it in that manner. I just meant that I thought we should go and see what we have for next year, because as far as this year was concerned at that point, to me, it just doesn't seem like, you know, we need to see what we have for next year, I guess is what my point is.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. If you're going to do it, another thing I said yesterday is, hey, if you're going to do it, it's now or never. This is the time. You've got an open date right now, then you've got three ball games left. If we don't see something, I think that'll tell you without saying so, just flatly that they don't think the answer is on this team. And I mean, that's something that we've heard. But if we don't, I think if you don't see a change now, that pretty much confirms that the feeling is the answer isn't on this squad, and they're going to have to go, you know, bring somebody else in.
Yeah, and that's a scary thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, what for Walker could play? I mean, I know I've never used Walker playing this year. I never thought it was going to happen, anyways, but. Theoretically, Walker could play the remainder of these games and still redshirt, correct?
Yes.
He can play three games?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he could play, and if Auburn won them all, he could play in a bowl game. He can play four because he hasn't played yet.
I gotcha. I mean, it just makes sense. It seems to me like you at least give the kid a chance. I don't, you know, obviously I'm not a coach. I don't, you know, what he knows and what he doesn't know. But, you know, I'd either give Hank, hell, even Holden. I mean, Holden, we haven't seen what he can do under this system. I don't get it. I just can't believe that's all we have and that we haven't developed anything else. And I mean, Hank's been in the system for 2 years. I mean, I just don't get why we're at.
No, it's more than a little frustrating. You're absolutely right.
All right, Coach. Hey, real quick, Coach, yes, sir. Did you have a good time at the reunion?
It was unbelievable. We talked about it a little bit earlier. It was so good to see all the coaches and former players and staff and administration and trainers and doctors. And Auburn University did a great job, and I'm very thankful that they had it for the kids.
That's amazing. You guys still deserve to go to that national championship that year, if not for Kirk Herbstreit.
I appreciate that, buddy.
All right. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for taking
my thanks,
call.
Thanks, Brian. We need to get to our first break. John, hang on. You're up when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
Hey, Lee County, Chris Patton here.
On ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
It's Bill and Don today, not Bill and Dan. It's Coach Don Dunn here in the studio with Bill. And let's get back to the drive hotline. And John. Thanks for hanging on, John. How you doing?
No worries. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Coach Dunn. Really enjoying the show. A couple of thoughts. I was down at the game on Saturday, unfortunate, but I'm still support Coach Freeze. I wanted to say on the celebration of the 2014, specifically to Coach Dunn, mm-hmm. I really think I speak for a lot of Auburn people saying how proud we are of that team. It just really represented, I think, everything that we write. With college football, and I think all the players and coaches really just represented Auburn so well during that season. And I wouldn't count out Auburn at all if we had the opportunity to play USD. And a couple of thoughts, just a couple of questions about the current team. Is there not a point, if you continue to miss field goals, that you just have to say, hey, we need to go for it on fourth down and just say, hey, maybe we don't have a field goal kicker? And secondly, are we at the point, and nothing against McPherson, but with his health, are we at the point maybe Auburn needs to look at trying to get a kicker in the offseason, either in the portal or the high school ranks? That's really all I got, guys. Appreciate it.
That's a really interesting question. I mean, because just don't know what the situation, you know, with Alex, what to expect from the future. And look, I really think Towns is going to be an outstanding kicker. But you see a lot of kickers go through this. It's like a golfer in his swing. If something gets a little off, it can become so mental. It's not a physical thing with Towns. Yeah. You can see on the 52-yard field goal, he's got the leg. He's got the strength. He's just got to get, you know, back into that into the rhythm of it. But it's really interesting. His first question, I wondered about that too. When you're struggling making field goals, I think you have to then decide, where are we on the field?
Exactly.
What is the field position? Because I really felt the other day when it was fourth and four at the 35, I thought, you've got a better chance of making 4 yards than you do making a 52-yard field goal.
I think you're exactly right, Bill. I think now with the struggles we are having in the kicking game and fairness to the young man, like you've said all year, I don't think he expected to play this year.
No, he expected to redshirt.
And then he was thrown into it. He's probably not physically strong enough, even though he's got a great leg. But when you take somebody that you don't expect to play, and then you throw him in the spotlight, I think he's going to be fine because I remember last year in high school. I know it's high school, but he could kick it. But you're right. I think now it's where we are on the field, down in distance, mm-hmm. time in the game, things like that. And also, thank you so much for the comments about the 04 team. And we were very fortunate, like I've said all along, to have great players and never had a problem with them and so proud of them. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and as far as do you add a kicker, I mean – I don't know. I would think that there would be some opportunities, maybe some players that have a situation similar to what Towns had a year ago. Remember, Auburn was first offering him a preferred walk-on.
Right.
Then they came up with the scholarship. There might be a kicker or two that they'd say, hey, we don't know about the scholarship. Even though, I guess we're still waiting for the official word. How many scholarships are we going to have?
Yeah,
There's still nothing official. I think the expectation is it's going to go to the 105 or somewhere. It's going to increase from 85. Yeah. And if so, then you might add
a kicker.
And it might be someone who is both a place kicker and a punter.
Yes,
because I mean you've got Oscar Chapman to replace. I know Auburn has already a commitment from a punter, but you got somebody with a strong leg that has done both.
Right, right.
That might have the opportunity to earn a scholarship. You might go in that direction.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
334-321-1390. Back to the phone, and we have another John. Hey, John.
Hey guys, Coach Dunn. I was at almost every game in that 2004 season, and it was really great to see everybody back on campus. And I don't know if I've heard you answer this question before, but do you have a favorite game or memory from that season? For me personally, being in Knoxville for that Tennessee game, was that fourth quarter was amazing up there.
Yeah,
thank you.
John, I agree. Being a former graduate assistant at Tennessee, knowing all the staff up there, and the way we went in there and just kicked the heck out of them, and Junior Rosegreen, I watched those things on somebody had it on the Facebook the other day of all those interceptions. But I would say, John, that the Tennessee game was my favorite because of my connections there and the way we beat them and the way their crowd just left. And LSU comes to mind, but yeah, I'd have to say the Tennessee win in Knoxville.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call, John. Tell you what, we're coming up on our bottom of the hour break. Jake Crane of Crane and Company will join us on the other side. We'll get his thoughts on what he's expecting to see in the first college football playoff rankings, which come out this evening, and get him to also catch us up on what he thought from last week and what's coming up as we headed down the stretch in the regular season. So stick with us as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
Back on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. It's Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio with Dan, traveling the country with the Troy women's basketball team. Drew once again at the controls. Right now, though, we're going to get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Welcome in our good friend from Crane & Company, and that, of course, is Jake Crane. Jake, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. You know, I just wonder if anything were to happen in Troy's women's basketball team were to have a couple of the post players go down. You know, if you put a wig on Tech, he could hold his own in the post.
You're absolutely right. Well, he ought to be able to. I mean, he's definitely got the frame for it.
The girth.
Yeah. I mean, he's got hands. His hands are huge. It's to the point where he probably grabbed the basketball like a tangerine.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I don't know. Jake, I think he's better suited to being on the mic side.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the up and down would get him in the end, but he'd still, I mean, if you could cherry pick, he'd be useful.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. Hey, a fun night tonight. I mean, we got all kinds of things. I mean, it's election night, but it's also the first night of the college football playoff rankings this evening.
Yeah, fun night depending on what side you're on.
That's
right. I always You know, looking at the college football rankings is funny. You know, nobody ever remembers the first one. They always remember the last one.
Isn't that wasn't the very first one the one where Ole Miss and Mississippi State were both in the top five?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those where people tend to forget that. I'm more interested not in who's where, but the methodology of why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much precedent that hasn't been set yet with a 12-team playoff outside of, obviously, the automatic bids. The four for, you know, which we all know the power conference winners, and then that fifth automatic bid. I'm very interested to see the kind of the fundamentals of it, not exactly the result.
Yeah, I mean there are a lot of interesting you know questions as to, you know, where's Boise going to be? Don't get excited because you see your team or multiple teams from one conference. Because no matter how high that second team in a conference is, they're not going to be higher than fifth when it comes down to it. So the rankings don't necessarily mean how they're going to work out as far as the playoffs when they play them.
Well, I mean, there's so many big games and matchups left to be played. I mean, you know, you look at this weekend, Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU. Then you fast forward. A lot of it's going to work itself out. I know the committee's praying that a lot of it works itself out. On Crane & Company, we went through the tiebreakers today, and after you get past three, it gets pretty wonky. So I'm very interested to see it amongst other things that are going on. I mean, Maction starts tonight. We got the NFL trade deadline going on as well. College basketball started, so it's a lot's going on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Alabama, LSU, I can't see that not being an elimination game.
No, it 100% is. Now, you know, on both ends, obviously, that third loss, 9-3, you're not getting in. The only way a 9-3 team gets in is if you find yourself 9-3, yet in a Power Four conference championship game. And then you would have to win it to get that automatic bid. But it's an elimination game for Ole Miss. It's an elimination game, and if you have two losses right now, every game you play is an elimination game, and it's the proverbial college football playoff bubble.
Yeah, it's great, though. I mean, there is so much anticipation and wondering, you know, I agree with you. The methodology, how they say they're coming up with putting teams where they are is going to be really important to watch as they put that out here tonight.
No, without a doubt. I mean, not just because of a precedent that will be set tonight, but I always look at the first 3 weeks of the rankings because you find out if they're going to use the same methodology each week.
Uh-huh.
I don't want them to change it. Whatever you're going to use this week, use next week. Whatever you're going to use the next week, use the next one. It's like an umpire in baseball. If you're going to have a wide strike zone, have a wide strike zone for 9 innings in both teams.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I agree with you there. So that's what we'll be watching. Let's get to some of the results. As painful as it may be for Auburn people to hear us talking about it, I wanted to get your thoughts on this past Saturday. I mean, we thought, maybe Auburn has figured something out there in Lexington before they're coming home against Vandy last week, but it sure looked an awful lot like they went back to what they'd been doing unsuccessfully before they went to Lexington.
Well, I mean, first off, you got to give credit to Vanderbilt.
Oh, yes.
Diego Pavia wasn't healthy. They won that game as a team. Now, when you get to Auburn, you know, I think what DJ Durkin and this defensive staff has done has been unbelievably impressive and admirable. I mean, have there been moments, big moments, where they've kind of fallen short? Yes, but without a doubt, they're keeping Auburn in games. And Bill and Coach, y'all know me. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything.
Right, right.
What's going on offense and special teams? I don't think enough people have talked about how bad Auburn – I was a special teams coordinator for 6 years, 4 years at the Division I level.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn special teams are so bad it makes me sick. And, you know, not just because McPherson isn't there kicking.
No,
that's tough,
no, no.
The
coverage is terrible. I mean, they're blocking trying to return kicks. Auburn can't do that without a flag being thrown, and always rightfully so. No, I mean it's throughout special teams. You're absolutely right.
Well, Well, and I don't, you know, ever wish for anybody to be fired. Well, I mean, there's a couple people I hope get fired, but that's a story for another day. But it, you can't keep this same. I don't care if it's a GA, an SA, a TA, or whatever. You've got to bring somebody in that knows how to coach special teams. This, I've watched this for 2 years. I watched us fumble a punt against Bama to basically lose the game. I'm sick of watching it. As far as offense goes, to be honest with you, that you know, the buck stops with the coaches. We can talk about Jarquez Hunter not getting the ball. We can talk about certain things. But to be honest with the play calling, but to be honest with you, I don't think Auburn's got the horses. I just don't think they got them at the most important position. The fact that you didn't go to the portal and get a quarterback, we've talked about that multiple times. But it's not just Peyton Thorne. I just don't think overall, and it's the older group, and I, you know, I don't mean to demonize anybody, but you got to call a spade when it's a spade. They just don't play winning football. They don't know how to do it. And a lot of times you can get away with not being perfect if you really understand how to play the game, if you really understand what it takes to win. But make no mistake, Auburn just doesn't have the dogs on offense. They don't have it in them. The older guys don't have it in them. I've watched this go on for this senior and junior class for 4 years. What do they have to hang their hat on? You beat Kentucky? At Kentucky? I mean, what going back? So what's got to happen is, and it's funny, go back to Saturday in your mind. Who made all the plays? It was the young guy. Mm-hmm. That's who. Help is coming. It's just, can Auburn fans be patient enough to let the help come? Because they're recruiting a certain type of person to come into Auburn. Somebody that not only wants the big moment, they need to have it. They can't operate without it. It's like oxygen to them. This older group, thanks for the memories. Y'all haven't gotten any trouble off the field. The problem is your trouble on the field. And in a place like Auburn, it's a zero-sum game. Winners find a way to win. Losers find a way to lose. And Auburn's got too many losers right now.
Jake, are you concerned at all, like some people are, that what happened last year with Florida and Billy Napier could happen to Auburn? It's really been interesting to me that thus far this class seems to be holding together. And I fully expect there're going to be some flips. There always are on signing day. Auburn will get some, and they may lose some. But are you concerned that what happened to Florida last year could happen to Auburn?
Not as much, because I think, again, I'll go back to what I said. I think they're not just targeting a certain type of player. You have to have great athletes to win. They're targeting certain types of people. You look at Woodby. You look at Deuce. You look at some of these guys that are the cornerstones of their program winning. They understand, and Bill, they want to be the change agent. You know, it's easy right now to go play at Bama or Georgia or Ohio State or Oregon and just be a continuation of it. It takes a certain type of individual to be the start of it. And I think that's who Hugh Freeze and them are recruiting right now. That's why you're not seeing the flipping. You're not seeing the wavering. They understand this group that's in there isn't good enough. But they also understand they want to be the cornerstone of the program, because those are the ones that are remembered. Those are the ones that are revered. Those are the ones that really go down in the history books. Not the people that won the fourth natty. It's the guys that got together to win the first.
Jake Crane of Crane & Company with us, as he is on Tuesday afternoons. Now it's evenings with the daylight savings time gone. A&M falling to South Carolina last week. I mean, a lot of folks said, look out for that one going in. And so now we've got five teams with one loss in conference play. And as you said, I mean, there's some huge games coming up starting this week and heading on out. You know, the SEC, Greg Sankey's got to be going, hey, all right, some of you folks get knocked off, but yeah, they don't want to have to be dealing with that sixth, seventh tiebreaker, as we've got so many teams still contending for the conference championship game.
Yeah, they don't want to have to meet at the Citco and flip a coin like it's Friday Night Lights. I can promise you that. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think there's an overall elite team in the conference right now. I think you have a lot of really good teams. Mm-hmm. But if you look around college football, there's not a lot of teams that play great complementary football, that play great three-phase football. You know, I think the reason that Indiana and you can talk about the schedule and all that's fine. There's a reason that Indiana and BYU and some of these other teams are winning. It's because they're not elite at anything. They're just really good at everything.
Everything, yep.
I mean, the only team that I think has been elite in two out of the three phases is Oregon, and they've had to evolve to that point. You know, there's something to be said. It's amazing. I think you got a better chance to win the war if you've got a really good Navy, Army, and Air Force, as opposed to having an elite Navy and just an okay Army and Air Force. And when I look at college football and I look at the playoff format, that's why I don't trust Miami. Yeah, Miami mm-hmm. can win a track meet. They've shown you that. They're incredible on offense. But just like you see in the NCAA basketball tournament, you don't make it to the Final Four and win a national championship just because you can shoot. You got to be able to rebound and play defense too, because there's some nights where the shots aren't falling, and you got to be able to win a knife fight. I think that's what has made some of these teams, and I think you can throw Vanderbilt in that mix as well.
Yep.
They may not be the best at one thing. They're just really good at everything.
Yeah, they're very sound, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons, not just talking Vandy, but, I mean, your point there is that's why this is a great year for the first 12-team playoff, and this is probably going to be a year where – you know, there were a lot of folks going, oh, there aren't 12 teams that deserve to be in the playoffs. I think when it's all said and done at the end of this year, they're going to be those teams that didn't make the 12 that feel like, hey, we're as good as those. And it's going to be hard to argue that. It's great, I think, for college football to have as much parity, I think, as we have right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's without question. I think the question is this a one-off?
Right.
Is this an anomaly? Or is this going to be the future with NIL and the transfer portal? Are we going to have more parity? Or are we going to revert back to what we've seen in the past where there's one to two teams that are so much better than everybody else, you're going to need a stroke of genius and or a miracle to be able to win a game? So that's what I'm interested to see going forward, and we're not going to know that until we have a larger sample size.
Yeah, you won't know what schools are able to sustain that NIL, which is critical in the transfer portal. I mean, you can't have the transfer portal isn't as volatile if you don't have NIL in there.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's true, and you get more money by winning. I mean, you sell more donuts, you open up another donut shop. But to me, I think it's more about the evaluation process.
Mm-hmm.
What has separated a team like Texas A&M, who I thought evaluated incredibly in the portal? It's just like high school recruiting. There's diamonds in the rough out there everywhere. You just got to find them. Now, you can't build the whole ship out of diamonds in the rough because you're not going to hit on all of them. But there's got to be an evaluation process that is thorough and is shown to work. So, again, just like high school recruiting and the transfer portal and NIL and all that stuff, it's who can evaluate. That's what it's going to come down to, and that's what it should come down to.
Oh, absolutely. Great stuff, as always. Jake, what you guys got going on Crane & Company?
Oh, man, a little bit of everything. A lot of college football right now, just breaking down kind of where everything is at, you know, headed toward the playoff. Obviously, what's going on in the NFL and college basketball is here already. I'm excited to see Auburn on the hardwood. I know they're excited. Who'd have thought the state of Alabama, the championship in SEC basketball runs through the state of Alabama.
Absolutely.
I never in a million trillion years thought I would ever say that.
No, I would have thought you'd have me locked away somewhere if I said that and believed.
Well, that's still out there. You know that.
Well, I do know that. That's the case. That's a possibility every day. Jake, man, it's great talking to you. Look forward to Crane & Company. Let everybody know how they can find it every day.
Oh yeah, it's really easy. You go to YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's Crane & Company, CRAINN Company. And don't worry, Auburn, help's coming. I appreciate y'all having me, Coach Bill, and hope Dan doesn't have to get any reps out there, but if he does, I know he's going to tear it up.
I want to see the video of it, too, if they do. Jake, thanks, man. Have a great week.
Thank you.
All right, y'all be good.
Jake Crane joining us as he does every Tuesday. We need to get to that final break of the afternoon. Back to wind things down here on the Tuesday Drive.
Hello, Lee County. I'm former Chief Justice Sue Bell Cobb. I want to talk to you today to encourage you to go to the polls and vote for Chris Patton for District Court Judge of Lee County. I began my career as a District Court Judge, and I know that it is truly the